Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. And let's read verses 25 through 27. Ezekiel 36, verses 25, 25 through 27.
Amen.
Amen. Then?
Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, yes, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Amen.
I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Amen.
I will put my spirit within you.
Yes.
And cause you to walk in my statutes.
Amen.
And you will keep my judgments and do them.
Amen.
Amen.
And then let's go on to also Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and let's read verse 8.
Amen.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen.
Lord, give us a pure heart.
Amen. That we would see God. Amen.
Amen.
And then let's go on to chapter 13. And then we'll read verse 18 through 23. Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23.
Therefore, when anyone hears the word of
right.
the kingdom, and
does
not understand it,
oh Lord,
comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart.
Yes.
It is he who receives the seed.
Oh Lord, right.
But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy.
Yes.
Yet he has no root in himself,
oh Lord,
but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
Yes.
Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches
right.
choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Unfruitful.
But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word,
yes.
Oh
Lord.
And produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's good. This morning, we, in the meeting concerning consider our ways, this is really has been a burden amongst the brothers that we would consider our ways. You know, for we've been meeting here as a church in Fountain Valley for the last almost 14 years. Yeah, 14 years. And you know, after you know, as you meet and day by day, week after week, year after year, we have to consider our ways. Did we remain the same from when we first start as a church? Or have we seen the progress of the Lord build in His house here? And as we also consider for North America, you know, the Lord, there's so few of us scattered around the country and in Canada. And so this is very much on the hearts of all the brothers that we would consider our ways. And as we got into this more, and a lot has been fellowshipped in the last number of conferences concerning our heart, a need for a new heart. And this is good that we could spend a little bit more time concerning the matter of the need of a new heart. The song that we sing this song many times. But what is our realization? Lord, create in us a clean heart. Restore within us a new spirit. We don't want to sing these songs just to feel good or just to pass the time. But Lord, really, what is this new heart? We want a clean new heart. And as we read in Ezekiel, the Lord wants to give us a new heart. Why is it so important to have a new heart? Appreciate in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If our heart is not pure, it is very difficult for us to see God. In fact, it is impossible to see God. If our heart is so cluttered, if our heart is so old, if our heart is impure, defiled, then there is no way for us to see God. It is very difficult. And in this conference, as the title was read last night, presenting a glorious church to Christ at His coming. If we want to see this glorious church that the Lord wants to present at His coming, then for sure we need a new heart. For us to see God, to see His purpose, we definitely need a new heart. And then as we read in Matthew chapter 13, we also see why we need a new heart. Because it exposes the condition of our hearts today. In the matter of he who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, when the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown into his, what was sown in his heart, this is he who received the seed by the wayside. So what is one of the conditions of a heart is the matter of the hardness of our heart. The hardness of the heart doesn't come only because we sin all the time. Actually, when you consider this word wayside, what is this wayside? If you go to a farm and you see the field, you'll see paths along the sides of the fields. This is where the tractor or the horse or people walk back and forth day after day. And as you continue to walk day after day, that part of the field grows hard. If you consider our daily life, day after day, we walk back and forth to work, to school. And as we even saw last night, we could even come week after week after week to the meetings. And to come to just sit, to listen, maybe call a song, maybe to share something short. But we just come week after week after week after week. And this becomes a tradition. And I don't know about you, but what happens when we get into this tradition, into this rut? Our heart is hardened. We get into this way. And if something changes, it's very hard because our heart is hardened. And it is very difficult then for the Lord to speak to us in a fresh and new living way. Because as soon as the word is spoken, it goes in one ear and out the other ear. It's just like the seed dropping onto the hard ground. It doesn't get in. It doesn't take root in our hearts. And so this is a danger for all of us. We can come to this conference. And you know, we come conference after conference after conference. And the word is spoken to us. But right away, as soon as the meeting is done and we go to take our break or to go eat lunch, the word is snatched away. And it doesn't take root in our heart. So this is why the Lord needs to give us a new heart. Because our heart is hardened. And then also, it goes on, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Sorry, verse 20, it says, he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, then when tribulation or persecution arises, arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And in this case, the problem is, it's not that our heart isn't so hard. We are open. We receive the word. But there are hidden stones within us that we have not yet dealt with. And if the seed falls into that part of the ground where it rests upon that stone, then there's no way for the root to go deep into the good ground. And when there's no root, then when the sun comes, the wind blows, the trials come, there is no way for that plant to survive, and it withers away. And this is our situation also. Many times we hear the word. Last night it was shared, we should all pray. Get into these verses. That was underneath the title here, Spiritual Principles of the Building of the Lord's Church in the Holy Scriptures. There are a lot of verses here. Actually, if you go through the outline, there are a lot of verses in the outline. But do we take the time out then to open to the Word, to get into it, so that the Lord can then shine in our hearts to take out the hidden stones? Sometimes we go to a conference and we hear the Word and we receive it with joy. We're burning in spirit. But because there are these different things occupying in our heart that we do not let the Lord deal with to take out, then when the trials come, we stumble. So again, this is another reason why we need a new heart. And then, of course, the third condition of the heart is the matter of the thorns. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Today, we all hear the word. We all are receiving the word. And maybe even the Lord is dealing with us in the different things in our lives. But what about the cares of this world? The cares of this life. Because, you know, we live, at least in the U.S., the economy is difficult. There are so many things that are worrisome. You know, will my nest egg grow? Well, we have enough. And these thorns, the cares of the world, occupies us. And even to the point where it chokes off the life. And we are unfruitful. The cares. There are a lot of cares. And it's not the bad cares. These are actually all the good cares. We worry about our children. We worry about so many things in our lives. But does these worries, these anxiousness, gets us to the point where the Lord cannot bear fruit in us? And so we have a glimpse into the condition of our heart. And this is why we have verse 23. And this is the need for a new heart. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is the heart that the Lord wants to give us. This is the new heart. The Lord wants us to give us this new heart that is good ground, so that when we receive the word, we not only understand the word, but that the word would then bear fruit. And not bear fruit a little. It starts off with bear fruit some 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30. That means even 30 times more. This is the heart the Lord wants. And this is why we all need a new heart. And so with this, the consideration, and then what is our heart? What is our heart? I know in whenever we talk about the heart, the first image in my head is this red heart, right? With the red heart. It's the first thing we have. And the first thing that is associated to this red heart is what? Love. Our love. Well, praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord wants to deal with our love. He wants to work within our hearts regarding our love for the Lord. But it's also good to see how the Lord wants to work within us to give us a new heart. Then what is the heart? So with that, I'll just draw a little simple diagram to show us the heart. So many of you probably know this simple picture. This is the picture of you and me, okay?
How?
So, on the outside, we have the body. This is the physical body that we all can see one another with. Now, on the inside, the next layer, no, next circle is our soul. And with our soul, according to the Word, we realize that our soul is divided into three. There is our mind, emotion, and will. Okay, so this is our soul. And then, even deeper within man's soul is the spirit. This is the spirit of man, lowercase s. This is the deepest part within man. And also within the spirit, there are also three parts. There is the conscience, the intuition, and the fellowship. So, this is a picture of us. Now, the question is, what is our heart? So, is this red? It's a red heart. So, we'll highlight this in red. So, our heart. Actually, according to the Word, our heart comprises our soul. So this is, I'll put the outline here, our soul. And it also includes one part of our spirit, which is our conscience. So, this is our heart. Doesn't look like a traditional heart. Or maybe it does, but outside in. So, what we want to be clear about is, the heart of man, comprises man's soul, which includes the mind, emotion, and will, and it also includes the part within our spirit called the conscience. And so this is important for us to realize. This is our heart, and this is what the Lord wants to deal with in giving us a new heart. I know for me, as I prepared for this topic here, I realize, Lord, you know, there's got to be more than just the love to the heart. This is the natural thing we respond to, is the heart. In the heart is the love. This is just natural for us. No fault, and this is not wrong. This is very much part of the heart. But that is the emotion part. But in the heart, there are four areas. I want to read you first the verse here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read this together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Did you get this? It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Now, what do you think the Spirit is doing? The Spirit here is strengthening our will, our emotion, and our mind. And what I was really impressed by was the sequence of it, but of power. The Lord has given us His Spirit within our spirit to strengthen our will. Our will is our ability to choose. Last night, it was quite clear. God will not force us to do anything. God needs our consent. Which means God needs us to choose. This is what God has created within us. He has given us a will to choose. And this will to choose needs to be strengthened. Amen. Why? Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it says, we were sons of disobedience. Meaning our will, we like to choose other things than God. We have a rebellious nature within us. For some reason, we like to choose things not of God. And this is what needs to be strengthened. Actually, what needs to be renewed. It needs to be changed.
Amen.
And when you look at the outline, you can see, I just put down a number of actions in our choosing. You know, regarding the new heart, the Lord wants to give to us, but He requires us to get it. It's not just that He would give us a new heart. When you read Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 18, let me read this to you. Verse 31, it says, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of the ones who die, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. So you can see here, it does take our initiative. We need to get the new heart. Meaning we have to say, yes, Lord, I want this new heart.
Amen.
If I had $1 million, and I wanted to give it to Sarah and Jasmine, if they don't want it, then as much as I want to give it to them, they're not going to take it. And if they don't take it, they won't enjoy it. Right? You have to take it. You have to get it. Now, imagine, the Lord has given us so much. And He wants to especially give us this new heart. But as much as He wants to give it to you, Stefan, He cannot if you do not want it. I want to give you a new heart. You know, sometimes this is so funny, when we are eating food and I want to serve you something, you can say, no. But here, eat some more. No. It's, you know, you can't enjoy the food if you keep saying no. Just say yes and take it. Enjoy it. I mean, you see the food there, you know, oh, everybody else, you first go get your food. But you see the food, you're hungry. Take it. Get it. This is what the Lord wants us to do, is to get this new heart.
Amen.
But it takes us to make initiative to get it. And then it says, do not harden your hearts in Hebrews 4:6. Do not harden your hearts, meaning you have a choice to harden your heart. You have the choice to remain in your hardness of your heart. So we have to choose. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who, what? Who works, both the willing and the working for His good pleasure. And you notice the sequence. It says, work out your own salvation. That means we have to first take that initiative to work out our own salvation. God wants to do everything for us, but yet if we are not willing to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, then as powerful as He is, He cannot do it in us. And then we read a little earlier regarding in Deuteronomy, verse 19. The Lord says, choose life. He even told us, choose life. You have the choice. But He's even telling us at this point, choose life. How many times have our wives told us, choose life? Especially when we're in a difficult situation. And then Sharon goes, John, you need to turn. And at that moment, it's like, oh. Why is there the oh? Because there's the hardness of my heart, but I have to make that choice. And a lot of times, that first, I don't know how many minutes, it's hard. I just don't want to choose it. Even though I know if I choose it, the Lord will give me life to either apologize or to listen or to take care of whatever it is. I know the Lord can do it in my head. But because at that moment I chose not to soften my heart, I chose to harden my heart, then the Lord cannot do it. And then I have to suffer for minutes or hours before the Lord can do something. Not just me, the whole house suffers. So, can you imagine if we would not choose, if our own household would suffer, then how would the church suffer? And how would our relationship with the Lord suffer? I love my wife, and I fully understand my wife, but if I don't still choose with this new heart, that doesn't matter. Pursue holiness. This church, the Lord's church is glorious. It has to be holy, but it still requires us to choose it. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, pursue it. It did not say, passively sit and do nothing. Lord, you do it. You do it in me. And you just passively sit. And you let everything come into your eyes and ears. And if we are passive in this way, then we cannot become holy. Because this whole world is filling us. If we don't pursue holiness, then we will be filled with the filthiness. So it requires our choosing.
Amen.
And then this verse that we enjoyed in the young people's meeting, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me.
Amen.
Strengthens me. Empower and strengthens us.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ. Again, this requires our choosing. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Christ can do everything in us?
Amen.
Do you believe the Lord can give us life to our mortal bodies?
Amen.
Do you believe that the Lord can fill us with His riches? Well, then we still need to choose. We need to say, I want to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can see now how much the Lord needs to deal to renew our will. And this is the first item in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You know, if you consider, sometimes I'm considering my experience. And if I look back into the experience of Peter, because we were just in Peter. Peter loved the Lord. Can anyone deny that Peter loved the Lord? I think of all the disciples, he was most emphatically saying, I love the Lord. He wanted to go to the cross with the Lord even. And Peter spent 3.5 years with the Lord. The Lord appeared to him. I mean, the Lord was standing in his midst with him for 3.5 years. And I'm sure in those 3.5 years, the Lord was ministering much life into him. So no doubt, the Lord had a very good understanding of the Lord. Peter had good understanding. And no doubt, Peter loved the Lord. But yet, in spite of all that, what happened when the Lord was being taken to the cross? Peter still denied the Lord. Not just once, but 3 times. So you can see the Lord still needs to work on our whole heart. It's not only that we see the Lord, and the Lord really appears to us, and we see Him. It's not just that. And it's not just that our love is fervently burning for the Lord. But in the case of Peter, he realized, when he was asked that question, do you know Him? And he denied Him. it's still our will needs to be strengthened by the Lord to say, yes, I know him.
Amen.
And I will not deny the Lord. It still requires us to make that choice. If we are not willing to make that choice, then this is still a part of the heart that the Lord cannot deal with. The Lord cannot give us this new heart if we are not willing to make that choice for him. It's the same. From the time we were saved and the time that we are being saved, day after day after day, it requires us to make this choice. And of course, the heart then goes on is the matter of our emotions, our love, our feelings. And in this world today, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, we are lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasures, rather than the lovers of God. Oh Lord, you see our heart? How despicable our heart is. That's what Ezekiel said. We are a despicable. Our heart is so abominable because we love ourselves, as was shared this morning. We love money and we are lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. My, the Lord needs to renew our love for him.
Amen.
We have to turn. We have to choose him. Lord, give me your love.
Amen.
Strengthen us. This is why it says God has given us a spirit of power and of love. The Lord would even strengthen our love because our natural love will go away. Definitely, especially when we are being built up together with the saints. There's the love, not just this emotional fleeting love. You do something nice for me, then I'm happy with you, and then I love you. But what if a brother exhorts you or rebukes you? Then right away, whatever love you have is gone. I don't want to see that brother anymore. I want to leave. This is, what kind of love do we have? It, has our love been renewed by the new heart? Oh, Lord Jesus, I want this kind of a heart. This kind of a love from the Lord. Especially in the building up of the church. This is so practical in our family life. We already have to deal with one another. I mean, it's not that I enjoy disciplining my children. But I discipline them because I love them. Not because I love, you know, giving them a hard time. No. I want to see them grow up in a proper way. And in the same way the Lord wants us to grow up in a proper way.
Amen.
This is the real love. Our love needs to be renewed. It needs to be changed. It cannot be our concepts, which then brings us to the matter of the mind. Our mind needs to be enlightened.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, this is so important, especially in relationship to the building up of the church.
Amen.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. Lord Jesus, our minds are so full of concepts. This is the one thing that as we brothers fellowship more and more, we realize it is our concepts that prevent the Lord from going on in the church. Lord, deal with our concepts. Like last night, just very simple. Do we see the Lord as only our Savior? Or do we also begin to see the Lord as our Bridegroom? Has our mind, has our concepts been renewed? Even this point regarding that we have to die for the church to be built. No one likes to die. No one wants to die. But yet there's this concept. I don't know. This concept. Even sometimes I hear, Lord, we give you the permission to deal with us. But then we are not willing to let the Lord deal with us. There's this concept. Our concepts need to change. just a few years ago in the conferences, the fellowship and the burden was the Lord as our King. Was that in our concept that the Lord is our King? And if the Lord is our King, do we have that relationship of being obedient to the King? And now today, last night we saw our relationship to the Lord as our bridegroom. Do we have that concept? And so our minds, our thoughts need to be renewed, needs to be enlightened, not darkened. It gets darkened because we hang on to traditions. Well, the church meeting must be this way. Someone needs to call songs, someone needs to pray, someone will give a message, and then after that, we close the meeting with the announcements. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? Well, no, it shouldn't be wrong, but it could be wrong. In fact, if we are only living in tradition, and we are darkened in our understanding, then it is definitely not the way of the Lord. But how often do we get lulled into this darkness? Week after week after week after week after week. When we come to the meetings. And this is not just the meetings. It could be something as simple as what we do in our daily life. Lord Jesus, renew our minds. Amen. And the other verse that I really enjoyed is this matter of, Lord, take captive our thoughts. In 2 Corinthians, because this is the other thing that happens to us, we have a wild imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Amen. To the obedience of Christ. Amen. My. Have we ever prayed, Lord, take captive all our thoughts, every thought, Amen. To the obedience of Christ. Amen. Oh Lord, we really have a crazy imagination, crazy thoughts that could cloud our view for the church. Lord, have you taken captive our thoughts? And then finally, the matter of our conscience. And the two verses that I want to impress upon you is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. What does it say? Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, returning the faith, have shipwrecked. Oh Lord. A good conscience is very important. But if we reject, if we do not take care of our conscience, that could lead us to being shipwrecked in our faith. And in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Oh Lord, seared with a hot iron. How does that happen? If we don't take care of our conscience, we could do this. You know, those of you who play guitar, you press your fingers on steel strings and it hurts. It really hurts when you first learn to play guitar. Why? Because the fingertips are very sensitive. And this is why if you have very sensitive fingertips and you play guitars, and you stop, well, it's good because you'll keep the sense in your fingers. But if you're like some of us who play guitars and we grit it through, eventually the tips of your fingers will become seared. Not with hot iron, but with vibrating metal strings. And you build up these calluses on the tips of your finger. And there's no feeling. You can press as hard as you want, and there will be no feeling. And this could potentially happen to all of us. If we do not take care of our conscience. You know, just something as simple as singing the songs. You know, just the song that was corrected. I appreciate these improvements that we have with the songs. Seems like every conference we have more improvements. But we need to be sensitive to what the Lord is speaking to us. It's not just that He wants us to be a friend to the Lord, but in the burden of the conference, we realize He wants us to also be the bride to the Lord. There was the previous conference, and there were some words that were written that were actually wrong. Actually, there's a couple of hymns in the songbook that needs to be rewritten because it is absolutely wrong, okay? But if we sing it, okay, the first time you sing it, I know this is my experience, the first time I sing it, it's like, I realize, whoa, this song doesn't sound right. It just does not, there's no amen in my spirit. But and this particular song is 8 verses. So by the time you get to the 8th verse, you go, okay, well, this song is okay. Or it's not that it's okay. You lost all feeling. That's more of the issue. It's not that the song is okay, but you lose feeling. This is what happens to us when we play guitar. We keep holding the strings and eventually you lose feeling. And this is what we have to be aware of in our conscience. It starts with the little things. Something happens, or we're about to do something, and there's a sense within our conscience, don't do it. But we say, it's okay. And then, the next time around, same situation, and we say, it's okay. And eventually, we will have no more feeling in that area. And if we are not careful, then our conscience will be seared, like a hot iron searing us. When we get to that point, now you have scar tissues, and there definitely will be no more feeling. So this we also need to take care of in our conscience. So you have to realize, when the Lord gives us a new heart, it's very thorough. It's not just our burning love for the Lord. It's our choosing. It's our mind being renewed, our concepts being renewed, changed. And it is about our conscience being very sensitive to the Lord's speaking, very sensitive to the Lord's moving within us. So, now what do we do now if we realize this? And we need to realize that when the Lord gives us this new heart, it is not a once in a lifetime new heart. This is a daily matter, brothers and sisters. Daily we need a new heart. You know, when you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way." Sorry, wrong verse. Verse 6. "Since, therefore..." I wrote it. The reference is down wrong. Okay, sorry. Verse 7. Here we go. "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Okay. Today, I mean today, each day, if we hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your hearts. That means every day we could potentially harden our hearts. So this is a daily process. Lord, give me a new heart today. I need this new heart. And for us to give this, to pray in this way, we have to turn to the Lord. This is why the song we sang, "Whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, amen, the veil shall be taken away." Amen. This is also important. Each day we need to turn to the Lord. Amen. And then we also need to be cleansed by the blood. Yes. It's important for our conscience. If we offend the Lord, we have a trespass, that we need to cleanse your conscience from dead works. Amen. To serve the living God. This is in Hebrews 9:14. So daily, we need this fresh cleansing. You don't know how, I don't realize how many times I offend the Lord. Every hour, every 5 or 10 minutes, if I'm not walking by the Spirit. My conscience, our conscience needs to be sprinkled by the blood of the Lord. And then last night, we also heard regarding the matter of the Word. The Word, not just the teachings, but the washing of the water in the Word. When we spend time with the Lord, in the Spirit, in the Word, it becomes a washing to us. I'll tell you, when you read through these verses, I had a chance to just read through all these verses in these first 3 lines in the outline. And as you read them, you're just being cleansed. And you realize, the Lord is the one who builds His church. And whenever we try to touch it, it ruins it. In fact, those verses in Samuel, when Uzzah touched the ark because it was shaking, and instantly the Lord killed him. If we touch the Lord's house with our own unholy hands, the Lord will judge right away. But as you read these verses in prayer, there is a change in your concepts. There's a cleansing that goes on in your heart. And this is how the Lord makes our heart new. The blood is to restore the fellowship, but the word is to take the spots, to take the blemishes away. It's what gives us the lasting change. And then, but in the end, it still requires one more thing, to deny our soul life. Again, we still need to choose to deny our soul life. What good is it if we pray to receive the word? Day by day, you may pray over the word. But then when you're in that situation and the word returns to your heart, and at that moment you say, no. And if we say no, then there is no way for the Lord to change us. So day by day, we also need to deny our soul life. We still need to say no to the flesh. This is a very practical word. When I heard this first time, you know, just say no to the flesh and turn to the Lord. When you put that into practice, you can really see this will really work. Because you are taking that initiative. You are consciously saying, no. No, my body is tired, but no, I want to experience the Spirit of life who gives life to my mortal body. And if we take that decision, we make that choice, the Lord will empower us, even give life to our mortal bodies. Amen. Right? And this is why we need the new heart. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, this is the battleground. This is so important to us. The Lord wants to give you this new heart. We just need to get it. Amen. And if we get it, then the Lord can do marvelous things.
Amen.
Then the Lord can finally achieve to build up the church.
Amen.
That would be a glorious church.
Amen.
At His second return.
Amen.
So may the Lord give us all a new heart.
Amen.
Amen.